Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
We're doing this. It's Nightlight. Thanks for being here, folks. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Nightlight. I am Pete Chwaba. We are broadcasting statewide over the great state of Wisconsin, a much calmer state than it was last night with all the weather activity we had. It was crazy. I'm in Madison again tonight. I was here last night, and it was... We got these big windows looking over the street, much nicer tonight than it was last night. There were branches all over the place, so I hope you got through the storm okay, or storms, I should say, last night. And it should be a little less drama tonight. So we're broadcasting, as I said, live from WMDX here at Civic Media headquarters on State Street, and got a really fun show tonight. Conrad is still over somewhere in the, I don't know, he might have enlisted in the Army. I have no idea. You think he joined the military, Aaron?
I'm not really sure. I just know I haven't heard from him.
Do you usually hear from him?
No.
I told him, I said, take a video, just a few seconds, just let us know you're okay. And he nodded and smiled like he always does, and I'm sure he won't.
Probably not. I know I probably wouldn't.
Because you're on vacation. You don't want to have to worry about this stuff, right? That's why he takes vacation. So I heard from his Aunt Carla last night on the text line. He's in Greece, I think. So hope he's having a great time. But that gives me the perfect opportunity to introduce tonight's producer, Aaron Zomers. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. Happy to be here on Nightlight.
Yeah, it's good to have you. You're sticking around a lot later than you usually do, though. So I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You are the usual, you're Todd Alba's producer during the day.
Yes. So yeah. My schedule, a lot of the things I do outside of that are pretty flexible. So sometimes I'll get here early in the morning and then leave early afternoon. Sometimes a little closer to noon and stay later. So
it's, all right.
It's kind of all over the place.
I will get you out of here and home at a reasonable hour. I assure you of that. We'll do this. We'll make it economical. It'll be fun. So I hope you have a good time tonight too, buddy. We have I have some great guests coming in tonight. Very excited to have Kayla Kelly on the show tonight at 7:35. She is an actress who is somehow making it work from the UP. I don't know where exactly she lives in the UP, but she... that's where she calls home, and she's got a lot of great credits, and she's very talented, so we'll talk to Kayla in a little bit and find out what her life is like and see what she has going on and what project she's working on right now. She's a very talented actress. And then Rob Thomas, my buddy from the Capital Times, he's the entertainment reporter. He will be here in hour number two at 8:20. Rob's so much fun. We'll talk about summer blockbusters, what we're watching on TV, and... probably have a couple laughs too. So that's and that's a show right there. And tonight's question. Okay, so since we're talking a little bit about movies tonight with Kayla Kelly and Rob Thomas, I was talking to my wife earlier today, and I remembered all these movies. She started talking about movies from our childhood, from when we were younger. I thought, I saw so many movies that I probably should not have seen as a young kid. You know, Animal House. I watched this film called Humanoids from the Deep that was on cable when cable was first a thing. And there was so much nudity and swearing and drug use. And I was like in sixth grade and I was watching these films and I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to be watching this. But it was on at my friend's house. So that kind of became a recreational activity. We would just plan our sleepovers around when there was rated R movies on. So that is tonight's question. What movie did you see as a kid that you know you probably shouldn't have? The list goes on and on, I'm sure. And now everybody's desensitized anyway. I can't believe, you know, kids watch, you know, my wife is a teacher and I talk to middle school kids sometimes. I volunteered at my daughter's school. I worked there part-time and they would tell me these movies they watched. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I had to sneak out. It was like a covert op to go across the street to my friend's house to watch a rated R movie. And even then, I thought my parents were like tracking me somehow or had the HBO guide, even though we didn't have HBO, so they could tell what was on. So they knew when I went over there why I was there. So I guess it's that Catholic guilt that I grew up with. 16 years of Catholic guilt. So I didn't even enjoy seeing the nudity I saw in Animal House. Well, I enjoyed it a little bit. But that's tonight's question. What movie did you see as a kid that you know you probably shouldn't have? You can reach us throughout the show, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what we're talking about, we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to read your text on the air and hear your opinions. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And so let's do that. Let's talk movies. That's what we do here. Aaron, are you excited to talk movies tonight?
Definitely.
All right, cool. So what kind of movie do you like typically? What are your favorite?
Honestly, I love just a lot of different kinds of movies, but some of my favorites, I love the Star Wars series, just nice. Generally. I have strong opinions about some of them, but whatever.
As Star Wars fans do.
That's how it goes. I love stop motion. So movies like Coraline is fantastic.
Okay.
Stuff like that. I love terrible movies like The Room or Troll 2. Just movies that are so bad they're good. Those are a lot of fun.
Those are almost more fun sometimes to watch than like, I mean, everybody wants to see a great movie. But if a movie's just like so-so, you'd almost rather it be terrible so you could laugh at it.
Absolutely.
For those reasons.
I love movies that are at the top and bottom of the bell curve. That like it's either fantastic or just terrible.
I totally get that. I am so with you there. So, hey, Nightlight, by the way, with Pete Schwabba, is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue here in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a great little place. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. So I'm in Madison a couple nights. I'm staying in a hotel. I don't know why when I'm staying at a hotel, I use every towel I have access to. There are probably 15 towels in my room. There's small towels, big towels, medium towels. There's like a bath mat. There's all kinds of stuff. I don't know how I do it when I'm at home. I use like one towel for a week. But when I'm in a hotel, all bets are off. They're earning that towel money. I don't even know what that means. But it's like, I think I use them just because I can. And that's the other thing. I always eat bad food. I went over to one of the, I won't say which one, Chipotle or Qdoba. But apparently when you walk into a restaurant these days, even if it's fast food, whatever, if you say one thing, they do the opposite. I get this rice bowl. The guy says, do you want queso? I said, a tiny bit. He must have heard, drench it in queso. It was like eating soup. It was like I had cheese soup with some rice in it. It was so disgusting. And the same thing happened to me at Jimmy John's a couple weeks ago. When they ask you if you want cheese on your turkey sandwich and you say no, they think that means you want cheese on your turkey sandwich. So I'm here to help. I want to let you guys know what to expect out in society. That's what I do here. I provide a service. If you have not checked out the news roundup here at Civic Media on our webpage at civicmedia.us, please do so. It's a really great little tool just to kind of stay informed. We have a little news podcast roundup at the top of every local station webpage, and you get sports, the weather, news. I do an entertainment roundup. It's kind of fun. Check it out if you haven't. And if you haven't downloaded the app, it's very easy to use. You could take Nightlight or any of the Civic Media shows with you wherever you go. And it's very easy to text. We're on statewide. You click on the little text icon and you can let me know what you're thinking, regardless of whatever we're talking about. So Charlie Behrens will be on the show tomorrow night. That'll be fun. And James Kelly will join me as well. I had Aaron, all right, you're much younger than me, I think. Have you ever heard the phrase go postal or went postal? Somebody went postal.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in about 20 years, and nobody has really gone postal. None of the employees have gone that route. So I haven't heard it in a long time, and a friend of mine said that to me today on the phone. He goes, I almost went postal. And the first thing I thought of was he wanted to stand in line and buy stamps and mail a package or check his P.O. box. Like, it was such a weird thing. Like, do you have a cliche you haven't heard in a while? Share that, too, because I love when things kind of go back in the when the Rocky movies came out. Or there was like 18 of them in the 80s. Go for it was the big thing. Go for it. Everything was go for it. But I haven't heard go for it in so long. So what's a cliche, too? Do you guys have cliches you haven't heard in a long time? Share them. Maybe we can bring them back. Maybe we'll make that our mission here on Nightlight tonight.
I think going postal in particular has a connection to your other question about movies that you saw way younger than you should have. There's a video game series called Postal.
Oh, really?
In which you play as a postman who has gone postal. And it is probably one of the most graphically violent video game series for the sake of shock value.
Really?
For example, one of the main weapons you can do is taking a grenade launcher, somehow inserting it into a cat in order to fire grenades out of the cat's butt. And I found out about that game probably younger than I should have. I never played it because I didn't want to spend money on that.
That is, who came up with, somebody designed that.
Somebody designed that. And that's probably not even the worst thing. It's just the most iconic, I guess.
He's probably going to the meeting going, I don't know, is this too risky? Should I pitch this, shooting out of the cat's butt? But he did it, and it became a video game. I don't understand those video games. Sometimes, like, I'm not a huge gamer. After Mario Brothers, I pretty much retired from video gaming after I saved the princess. And, you know, they're so strange. Like, there was a video game called Sniper, and I downloaded it. It was just an app, and I thought, all right, I'll pretend I'm James Bond for an evening, you know. And the scenarios they put you in are crazy. They want you to kill people. It said, oh, this guy is stealing this tourist's backpack. Don't let him get away with it. I'm like, I'm going to shoot him and kill him?
Oh, my gosh.
That was in this video game. I think it was called Sniper. It's awful. So, but you're a Star Wars fan. It's a big week for Star Wars. This is the anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back dropping into the American public. Maybe we'll hear a little of that next, and we'll hear some Kayla Kelly acting work. It's stellar, folks. She's going to be here at 7:35. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Checking in from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Aaron. All is well in Horicon. This is Sherry. Good evening, Sherry. She says, she continues saying, my friends and I snuck into an X-rated movie. Sherry! We were in the seventh grade. It had Peter Frampton in it. I love Westerns. That sounds like three different thoughts, Sherry. It was an X-rated movie that had Peter Frampton. And it was a Western. I have to see this movie. Please share the title, Sherry. I'm renting it tonight.
I'm invested, too.
That's pretty cool. I don't know what to make of that. That's awesome. Jim from the 920 says, yes, the list goes on and on. Movies that I saw younger than I should have. The Van. Lots of sex. Premise. 16-year-old buys a conversion van and goes cruising for girls. Oh, my gosh. And then Chud, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. I've heard of that. The title should be self-explanatory.
It gives very Human Centipede vibes.
You've seen it?
No, but I mean, just the name, the idea of it.
Yeah, something's going on there. That reminds me, that Humanoids from the Deep movie I saw, I couldn't believe it was so, there was so much nudity. And, you know, when you're a teenage kid or like an eighth grader or whatever, you just sit there and you can't believe what you're seeing. It's like silent. There's like four dudes in the room and no one's talking. You're just like studying. And then there's drug use and like all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, I think that's the reason probably I was overly protective a little bit with my kids, because I know And not that I cared. Like, I remember showing the gopher scene from Caddyshack to my kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's dancing. It was cute, fuzzy little gopher. And my son was like, you know, 7, and my daughter was like 3. And there's a hard cut to a girl on a guy's shoulders in the pool without wear a top. And I almost pulled my ACL diving for the remote. And then I look at my kids and they're like, who cares, whatever. They're just like watching the movie like it wasn't even a thing. So I realized by making a bigger deal of it than I should have, like I'd much rather have them see something goofy like that than horrible violence like in that video game I was just describing. But that is tonight's question. What's a movie you saw when you were younger that you probably shouldn't have and maybe knew you probably shouldn't have? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. So this was a thing. Empire Strikes Back hit theaters in 1982, I want to say. I will defer to you, Aaron. You're the Star Wars fan, but I'm pretty sure it was 82.
1980.
80. Okay. Oh, that's right, because Star Wars came out in 77. So right. We have a clip. This is a great scene. And again, whether you're a Star Wars fan or not, you have to be appreciative of what you're seeing on screen. Like, I don't love everything about the Star Wars franchise. Some I really don't like, but it's incredible, especially for what you were seeing in 1980. Here's a scene from The Empire Strikes Back.
What is thy bidding, my master?
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
I have felt it.
We have a new enemy. The young rebel who destroyed the Death Star. I have no doubt this boy is the offspring of Anakin Skywalker.
How is that possible?
Search your feelings, Lord Vader. You will know it to be true. He could destroy us.
He's just a boy. Obi-Wan can no longer help him.
The Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi.
If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally.
Yes, he would be a great asset. Can it be done?
He will join us or die, Master.
Yeah, nice try. They can't turn Luke. They tried. They didn't do it, though. Right?
Yeah, they tried again. It still didn't happen.
The Force was stronger. And Luke, Sherry checks in again saying it wasn't a Western. She likes Westerns. It was X-rated and had Peter Frampton in it. This is slowly coming back to me of Peter Frampton. But sometimes I think back in the 70s, there could be like an X-rated movie that wasn't X-rated just for sex. Like they maybe had more nudity than they typically show and it was violent or something. I'll have to IMDb that movie during the break. Okay, my guest at 7:35 is the very talented Kayla Kelly. She is a UP. That means Upper Peninsula, ladies and gentlemen. There is a whole world up there, and she lives there, and she has made an acting career for herself. She travels, obviously, a lot, but she makes her home in the UP. And here is a she's equally talented when it comes to drama or comedy. Here's a clip of Kayla Kelly performing comedy.
Miss Clover. What did the stranger look like?
Nobody calls me Miss Clover anymore, except for those rugrats when I substitute teach over at Pine Ridge Elementary there. Of course, I don't hear from them like I used to. Ever since I smacked that smart-mouthed little Higgins bastard in the face in class in front of God and everybody else, he pinched my ass when I turned around after I just told him that he flunked his spelling test. Can you imagine that? 9 years old?
What did he look like?
Just like his daddy. He had the same little crooked grin on his face that he had when he asked me out in high school. I turned him down the first 2 times, but Mom always said, if a man's interested, he will keep on sniffing around, and he did. He did. Yeah.
Please, Cheryl.
So I added up all that he spent that night, and well, it just didn't justify a trip to the back seat. So, you know, girls gotta have her standards.
very talented Kayla Kelly. She'll be here at 7:35. When you're on the phone, Aaron, do you wait for the other person to say goodbye? Do you say goodbye, then wait for them to say goodbye? How do you do it?
I think it depends on who you're talking to. And I feel like a lot of the time, I mean, either way, you both say goodbye. I'm not doing an Irish goodbye on the phone and just hanging up. But if it's like my mom, we'll talk for a long time about a ton of different things. And I'll be like, well, I got to go to the bathroom. Goodbye. That's usually what I end up doing to hang up on my mom when I'm like,
nice.
And it's true. I'm not lying.
I thought you were just trying to get off the phone with your mom. All right. My son takes his time, and I don't know if he's like distracted or what, but I'll say, okay, bye. And then there'll be a long pause, and I'm like, okay, he's not saying goodbye. And then I'll always hang up right as he's saying bye. I'm like, say it faster.
I don't know why he wouldn't say it right back.
Because he's obviously looking at his phone or computer or something. I think he just gets distracted, but he's the worst at it. And we always say goodbye, but I thought, oh, maybe he's at the age where he doesn't want to say goodbye anymore. I don't know. So Jeff Daniels, have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
I have not. It's one on my list that I want to watch at some point.
You know what? Let's talk about that. We'll get to that. I want to read some of these texts. Our question tonight is, what is a movie from your childhood you saw that you probably shouldn't have seen and maybe know you shouldn't have seen? From the 920, Amityville Horror. I saw that one too, and I really regretted it after seeing it. The Exorcist, Halloween 2, and The Color Purple, the original. Wow. Three horror films and an Oscar nominee. That's pretty good. Here is, you know what, from the 414. I grew up in Milwaukee in the 60s and 70s, and the Parkway Theater on 34th and Lisbon changed in 1 week from playing a Disney movie to Triple X Theater. Deep Throat. While the line was around the block at the front door, I snuck in the side door. Well done, 414. Kayla Kelly's coming up next on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wednesday edition of Nightlight, coming to you live from Madison, just off beautiful State Street here. Aaron Zommer is sitting in for the vacationing Conrad Krieger tonight. And we will have, hopefully, Kayla Kelly in just a few minutes. I saw this article, and this cracked me up. Jeff Daniels almost did not do Dumb and Dumber. He thought the toilet scene would kill his career, and his agents were like pleading with him not to do the movie because they thought that would tarnish his reputation as a serious actor. But he wanted to work with Jim Carrey so bad, he stayed with it. And Jim Carrey actually said, if you commit to it, it'll be great.
Well, of course, you got to commit to the bit.
He committed to it. And he, despite the fact that he destroyed apparently several toilets during filming, it did not destroy his career. So, love reading stuff like that. Love movie trivia like that. Okay, we are going to pivot here and go to our scheduled guest who has joined us now. I'm very excited to welcome this burgeoning actress to the program, and her name is Kayla Kelly. Kayla, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thank you.
Are you in the UP?
I am.
Nice. How do you do that? When I first heard about you, it was like a year ago. I'm like, you know, how do you do that? How do you make an acting career living somewhere so remote? And I live in the Marinette area. It's not exactly a hub of activity, so I get it. But how do you do that? You must travel a lot, right?
I travel a lot, yes. Yeah. I put so many miles on my car. And, I do a lot of traveling, mostly in the Midwest. But it's definitely... it's fun. It's fun to get around, get out by myself, and makes me feel very independent. So it's cool, you know.
Okay. So I was reading about you, and you have a really interesting story. I don't know if I saw this on IMDb Pro or on your website, but you had a child at 18, which will derail most people's career plans when they want to go into show business, but it didn't stop you. Tell us about that challenge in your life And how cool it is that you still went ahead and became an actor.
Well, I've always wanted to be an actor ever since I was a kid. It kind of all started when I saw my uncle doing theater productions, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's my uncle, but it doesn't really look like him. And I thought it was so cool, and I wanted that to be me. I thought it was so neat. He could just be whoever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And so the bug, I guess you could say, hit me when I was little. And I started doing theater as a kid. And, you know, then I graduated high school and got married right away, had my daughter. And as you do, you put your family first, and that, you know, sort of became that's real life. And I went to college, and, you know, I worked 11 years for an ophthalmologist. I had basically a whole life. And then I also have my son in there too. And, you know, I had the whole life, the whole American dream, I guess you could say. But it's just like, I got to the point where I thought, you know, I really miss doing that. That was something I really had wanted to do. And it kind of became something that was just a dream, honestly, just like something that was like, yeah, right. I mean, that would be so cool, but it's how's it going to happen here? I live in the middle of nowhere. And it was really a high school friend that was putting on a production locally in my hometown that some friends of mine encouraged me to go try out for the play, and I did. And it really was kind of the theater group that kind of uplifted me and gave me all this confidence again that I had lost over not doing theater for so many years and all that stuff. And I kind of credit those people, because if it wasn't for that family feeling that, you know, that uplifting, theater people are unlike other people. That's all I can say about
totally.
That. You would know, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Theater people are a really amazing group of people. So I really got that confidence. And not long after I did that play, because I got cast as the lead female in that play was Frankenstein. There was an opportunity for a film that was actually being made right here in my hometown also, and from someone I knew back in the day from theater also. So it kind of just worked out. And from then, I just haven't looked back.
Wow. So talk a little bit about, too, like when you're doing community theater, those people aren't trying to become professional actresses, typically. They're doing something for fun. And we have a great community theater in Marinette. My daughter has been part of it since we moved back here, and it's her community. And now she's about to go to college. And I'm like, you know, you're going to move on from people who do this for fun to people who want to make a career out of it. Was that strange being around? And what was their reaction when you told them, no, I want to go do this. I want to be a professional actor. Were they like not know how to talk to you then or what?
I will say, no, not so much. I think people were really stoked about it. And they were kind of like, you know, you always wanted to do this. That's so cool. And you know, don't forget us when you make it big, which I have. But you know what I mean?
Right.
No, they were actually really supportive about it. And sometimes I'm trying to help some of my community theater friends get involved with working in film as well. So the more the merrier.
That's fantastic. When you talked about doing that movie in your hometown, what was the movie?
Well, the first film I worked on was called Nowhere, Michigan.
Okay.
You can find it on Amazon Prime. My scene actually got cut from the film because it was, as you may not, maybe many people wouldn't know about this, but a lot of scenes get cut from films if they're not really important to the story and they have to cut for time. So my first scene ever was one of those scenes, and it was kind of a bummer, but the director was a super cool guy, and he sent me the scene. I got to keep it for my reel, and I worked with an actress who has now been in Emmy nominated and Oscar nominated films in that scene. So it was like getting to watch like the actual careers of some of the people I worked with on my first film and seeing what they've done now. It's incredible. She was just on American Horror Story in this past season.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's super cool to see that. You know, you never know what's going to happen with the people you work with. And that's why I always say to treat everybody like everybody should be treated with respect on a film set, no matter what their job is, because you never know.
Absolutely. It's funny. I had a script set in the UP that we were going to shoot in Minnesota a couple of years ago. And I was like looking for other films that I could get ideas for locations and all that kind of stuff. And I stumbled across Nowhere, Michigan. And I'm like, oh my God. And on Prime, probably. And what was that like? I've shot a film before in a small town. What is that experience like? And what was your experience like that? Because in my experience, people like rally around you and they want to have fun and they can't wait. Was that your experience?
Okay, I'm going to quote the director from this, that very first movie. His name is Rob. Rob Vornkall. And he said, if anyone ever asks you, what are you guys doing? Are you making a movie? You're supposed to say, we're making a mayonnaise commercial. Because then the people will be like, what the hell? And they'll stop watching and then they'll be alone. But that first experience, honestly, was so great that that's the reason why I decided I was going to keep going. Being a theater kid and not knowing what it's like to be behind the scenes and all this stuff, not only did I get to work on that film with one little scene and meet all the cool people in it and see what everything was like, I also got to do behind the scenes photography for it because I do own a small photography business here in UP as well. And I got to do that and it was super cool hanging out with those people. And yeah, I feel like the buzz around a small town is people do want to get involved and they want to see what's going on. And sometimes they will kind of overstep the bounds, but I don't know. It's just because it's something curious that most people don't see in a small town. Most films are made in bigger cities and things like that. Yeah. At least definitely not in the UP. There's not much going on here.
Well, you're about to change that, I think. My guest is Kayla Kelly. She's an actress based in the UP. And she joins me here on Nightlight tonight, talking about some of the movies she made in her career. You just did a film that was in this new film festival in Madison, and your friend Kirk Krause was on the show a few weeks ago to talk about it. It was called The Last Rung on the Ladder, and it played here in Madison. And after you, in hour two, Rob Thomas wrote about it. He writes for the Capital Times, and he wrote about that festival. That was a Stephen King program called Dollar Baby. So you got to be in a short film based on source material by Stephen King. That must have been cool. Was that a good experience?
That was a wonderful experience. I can't say enough about the people that came together to make this thing. It's a really intricate sort of program. It has so many rules and there's so much that goes on with this. But if you are a Dollar Baby recipient, you get to make a Stephen King story into a short film. And Stephen King even gets to watch it, which is, well, it belongs to Stephen King technically, so he watches it. It's for nonprofit, so then it can't really be put out there for the masses to see, at least not at this time, but the Dollar Baby program is ending, so rules may change, so we'll see. There's some upcoming festivals that people can go and watch this film at if they would like, and I think it's May 10th, and Kurt was telling me, the MLC Awards in Green Bay or De Pere. I think, did I say May 10th? I meant to say August 10th.
August 10th.
Yeah. But it was really cool because I got to work with these people who had let me have so much creative reign and with my character. And it was a really depressing story. It was a really depressing story. It's not so much like many other Stephen King films, which are straight horror. This one is really more of, it's about morals and learning, that family is important and that you should not take them people for granted and things like that, because you can lose, something that means something to you in the blink of an eye. So it's really more of along the Stand By Me sort of line where, it's not quite straight horror, but some scary things happen in it. And it was a lot of fun to bring in some elements from other Stephen King films. We call those like nuggets or Easter eggs. We put those in there. And everybody was so wonderful to work with. So I really, really enjoyed that. And I really hope some of you guys can go see that at some of these upcoming festivals, because it was a joy to work on. It was awesome.
That's really cool. You must be used to shooting in the cold by now, I would imagine, because you did. We had the filmmakers from Northbound on the show a couple months ago. That was filmed in Wisconsin or the UP?
In the UP.
Okay. Yeah. So that's another one. And I saw a couple episodes of that before they were on the show. I don't know if I saw your episode, but there's a lot of snow. Like, do you like filming in the cold, or are you like waiting to get that phone call to go shoot something like in Florida or something?
Would it be bad if I said something of the latter? I don't love the winter. I live in the UP. I'm born and raised here. And somehow I've still never really gotten to fall in love with the snow. I love the way it looks. The first snow is beautiful, but honestly, the cold lasting almost 6 months of the year is really, it's got to go. It's annoying. this past winter, I was not mad that the weather was the way it was.
Same.
Because it was, I was pretty decent. The only thing I missed was like going sledding with the kids. But other than that, no, Northbound is an awesome series too. We have season 3 here coming out shortly. I think in the
nice.
Summer. Yeah. And we're, yeah, it's going to be the explosive finale, if you will.
Very
cool. This is a show that is completely filmed in the UP. It's an apocalyptic series, a post-apocalyptic series. And, you know, it's really something different that you're going to, you know, that you would see in, from Upper Michigan here. It's, how can I put it? It's a series that takes place here after the apocalypse here in the UP, and it's about survival. And there are some good guys, some bad guys. And my character was used to be a bad guy. She's kind of a rebel. She left the bad guys, and she's kind of like harboring. She's kind of like a fugitive.
Okay.
She's from her old like bosses and stuff like that. But she becomes a good guy, and like a lot of things change for her in season three. Her name is Gina. I get to be like a sniper wielding.
Oh,
bad
nice.
Guy. Or good guy, I should say now. Yeah. So that was a really fun one. It took us a lot of time to get through filming three seasons. I'm in season two and three. So, but you know, the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it because it was the first post-apocalyptic thing I had seen that wasn't in a sweaty, dirt, desert place. It was like there was snow. I was like, wow, yeah, I don't picture that when I picture the apocalypse, you know.
And there's no zombies,
right?
No zombies.
My guest is the very talented Kayla Kelly, the award-winning Kayla Kelly, and I will ask her about that when coming up next here on Nightlight. It's great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Kayla Kelly's here. Rob Thomas is coming up in hour number two. We'll be right back talking more acting on Nightlight. And the night is lit, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night, coming to you live from State Street here at Civic Media headquarters in downtown. Is this downtown, Aaron? Madison, I've been here so much over the years. Is this downtown?
Yeah, downtown is the general area, State Street, right around the Capitol.
Okay.
That's downtown. On the Isthmus?
I don't know if I agree with that, but
that's what I was told, at least.
You think they're feeding you bad information?
They could be.
Kayla Kelly is with me. She is a UP-based actress. So, Kayla, all right, so you said you were born and raised there. You have a family there now. When your kids are getting older, would you think about relocating, or are you still going to try to make it work from the UP?
Well, my kids are older. In fact, my daughter is 23 this year.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So I'm married to my second husband, Jim. He's awesome. He has three kids of his own, so we're kind of a Brady Bunch. And we have kids ranging from going on 23 to going on 14.
My gosh.
So, there's five of them. So, yeah, it's Brady Bunch. It's fun.
Really fun, actually. Like, you seem like a fun person. I'm sure you have fun with it. Do you guys, are any of them interested in this racket? Do they want to get into show business, or are they supportive of you at least?
I hope they're supportive. I think they are supportive. I would say I've tried to convince my daughter. In fact, we did a pilot one time called We did a pilot one time, and it really just is with me and my daughter. And I wrote the part basically about when I wrote the part of the daughter, it was basically based on my daughter. And I told her that to make it like I could convince her to do it. So I'm like, I just need a kid to play my daughter for this pilot. It's called Veronica Pratt, All American Awkward Mom.
I'm so Googling that right after this show.
It's like a 6-minute pilot. It's really fun. And I tried to get my daughter to be part of it. And she was like, that's it. I'm never doing this again. I'm embarrassed. The kids at school are like, what the hell? I'm not doing that. I said, I don't have to do it again. And nothing really ended up happening with that. I was going to actually take it. I had some people in Detroit that were interested in developing it. And then just some sketchy stuff happened with the IP the intellectual property. So it didn't end up working out. That's okay. It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
And I've had my kids, all of my kids have helped me learn lines throughout the years. Like if I need somebody to like make sure I'm getting my lines right for an audition or whatever, or sometimes I've actually had my stepson Cooper. He has been in a couple commercials with me and I know he loved doing it then. I don't know if he would do it now. That was a couple years ago, but none of them really have the acting bug. No, I can say that.
All right. So I have two kids. They were both born on the West Coast in Los Angeles. My son moved here when he was 11. My daughter was 6. I never encouraged them to go into this, took them away from LA, and now they both want to go into the business. So what do you do for that? Oh. I mean, honestly, I could not have made it harder for them moving where we move. Maybe you should set up like a little clinic and coach kids that want to go into show business from remote areas.
I've actually thought so. I've been asked to do things like there'd be part of doing things like that. Just because I don't want to say that I've had a successful career. I've done a lot of things.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of experience. I feel like people's opinion of whether people have made it or not is definitely, it varies. I'm working in the Midwest. And in my opinion, if I can do just acting for a living at some point in my career, and that's what pays the bills, then I've made it. And then I will be very, very happy.
Very well said.
So do I need a Hollywood actor? No, I don't need to do that to be happy. But I feel like I am encouraging whenever people ask me questions on how do I get involved with this? How do I get started? I am definitely down for answering questions. I've been at the forefront. I've helped several people try to get auditions and things before. So, get started.
It's interesting. When I was a comedian, I remember meeting kind of a semi-famous comedian back in the day. And he said, when young men or women come to him and say, I want to do comedy. What do you think about that? He says, don't do it. It's terrible. And his thinking being, if that's enough to dissuade them from going into this profession, they never would have made it anyway. So I thought that was a really interesting way of helping people by not really helping people, if that makes sense. So
I have to say, okay, the thing about it is, being a stand-up comic, I could never do it. I would die on the stage and have a heart attack or something. I don't know. I could not do it. I have a cousin that did that for a while, and it's like so daunting. What if they don't laugh at your joke? And like, oh, by the way, if you've never listened to Seth Rogen has a book out called Yearbook. It's an audiobook and everything. So if you don't want to read, you can just listen to it on your work. If you've never listened to that, it is the funniest thing ever. And he talks all about being a stand-up comic at 13 years old and having to open for Jerry Seinfeld. And then how it just like, was like, why did I do this? And I cannot imagine trying to be a stand-up comic. That's just crazy. So I love sketch comedy. I get time to like prepare weird characters. Cause I just love doing weird characters. I mean, what theater kid doesn't, right? It's a totally different world, but you have to have a thick skin. You have to be aware that people aren't always going to like you. They're not always going to think you're funny. They're going to think you're strange. That's fine. I don't know any actors that are totally normal. I mean, like, you have to have something wrong with you.
You got to be a little crazy.
You want to be somebody else all the time, right?
Right.
You got to be a little crazy. And that's okay.
Well, we're going to talk about your comedy after the news, but because you're very funny too. But I want to ask you about, you won a Best Actress Award. How cool is that? Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. That just happened.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm really stoked about that. I haven't been in a lot of films that have gone on to film festivals, so I'm kind of just sort of getting used to this. But the film is called Effed, Tales from the End Times, and it's another apocalyptic sort of scary movie. And what's different about this one is that there are 5 stories that wrap into one, so it's an anthology film, and they had 5 different directors write different parts of the story. And my character is in the wraparound film, which basically means that it's in the beginning, the middle, and the end. It's like the main story. And I play a news reporter named Corinne Arnold, and she's pretty selfish. She's got kind of a failing career, or she's being stuck on going to kids' soccer games and stupid things like that no one cares about. And she just doesn't feel like she's worth anything anymore. And she's trying to find a way to revive her career. And she goes to like actually go, you know, like yell at her boss and tell him to kiss her ass, basically, right? And she's just kind of fed up and everything. And then she and her she and her cameraman, they're the two main characters in the story. She and her cameraman actually don't realize it, but the biggest story of their lives are happening all around them. And so basically there's like an apocalypse happening.
Can I stop you right there? We'll come back for part two after the break. Can you stick around for a few? Awesome. Kayla Kelly's telling us about her Best Actress Award. How cool is that? This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba.